Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny, Ken and Scott, Dick, Tom, you think this sermon is yours. I think this sermon is mine as I'm putting it together. And when I pray, I like to add a lot of things, as you'll notice. Hopefully I don't go over, but I was kind of raised on a David Kaiser type sermon, so I might go over. But God just told me that I'm supposed to speak the Lord's Prayer, not put any fluff into that. So let me read the scriptures first. The first one is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. These are all pretty well-known scriptures. I think you'll, if you want to get there, that's fine. I'll give you a second. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The second is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And the third is Ephesians 6:18. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Amen. I want to start off with a story. I was listening to a gentleman on the radio one day. It's been several years ago. And so this is kind of going to be interactive, all right? You're going to have an assignment to do. The gentleman, I don't remember his name, but he was relating the two things that he does in life. And one is a counselor, and the other is a pastor. And as a counselor, he said he would meet with people, and he would give them the right words to do or say, or he would give them things to do in a marriage that they would come together. And he found out that a week later, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, when they come together, that they weren't being done. And it was just kind of maybe depressing for him that he was giving them the right way to go, the right path to go, and nobody was doing anything with it. And as a pastor, he said, "I would stand up here and I would give the good word. I would give the message that God gave to me, and it is a good word." And what he found out was a day, 3, 4 days later, as he talked to people, that no one was doing anything with that word. Now, that's what I heard on the radio. And for me, that really convicted me, because there's been a lot of times that I've probably sat in the audience like this, heard the word, and went, "Wow, that's really great." I've commented to Ken and everybody, Scott and everybody else, said, "Wow, that was great. That was really moving," in the past. But when that happened to me, I started saying to myself, I need to ask a question. I need to come up with a question as someone is speaking. What is that going to mean to me? And the example I have, I believe the gentleman's name was Mark West. About 2 months ago, is that his name, Mark? He spoke on the foundation of God. Is that his name? Do you remember? Anyone remember? About 2 months ago, there was a gentleman. Maybe he wasn't here. Maybe he wasn't. It was all a figment of my imagination. I thought his name was Mark West. Does anybody remember that the guy spoke on the foundation? Christianity, what we have as a foundation. Jim remembers. Okay. I'm sorry? Okay. It was Mark. I'll give me half a credit. 50% today. All right. So it was Mark. So I'm sitting in the back there, and I'm listening to Mark, And my first thought was, this is really bad. As Chris Ray, John, I really appreciate it. John, I talked to John earlier today. He said, I'm an open book here. I'm transparent. You can share with whatever. And I'm that way. So you're going to find out how Chris Ray thinks. I'm sitting in the back there. Mark is speaking about the foundation. And I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty elementary. We're all Christians here. And most of us have been here for quite a while. And I thought, you know, this is really elementary. And my mind started daydreaming to my sermon, what I'm going to speak about. And I get this tap on my shoulder, and I shh. And I thought maybe it was Jason as I sit back there, but it wasn't Jason, it was God tapping on my shoulder saying shh. He reminded me to pay attention. If the sermon of a foundation, Christ, the Christianity foundation is Christ, if it's good once, it's good 100 times, right? Shh, pay attention. So I started paying attention. It was a wonderful sermon. I left here saying, do I have that foundation? Do I truly have that foundation? So I thought about that and meditated on it for days and days and days. And I was asking God, God, do I believe that you are the creator of heaven and earth? Check. Do I believe that you gave me your son Jesus, that if I believed in him, that I would not perish, but have everlasting life? Check. Do I believe that you gave me the Holy Spirit when your son ascended? Check. Well, if I have that foundation, he asked me, if you have that foundation, why aren't you praying more? And this was amazing. I love how God works, right? Right? Everything, it just seems that all God's word always intertwines itself. And so I was talking about the foundation, but he brought it right back to my sermon. So if you believe in this, Chris, why are you not praying more? Why are you not praying bold prayers? Why are you not praying this, that? I just had this wonderful time with God. So your assignment today is, listen to what I say and just come up with a question for yourself. How's your prayer life? What does your prayer life look like? Do I talk to God enough or whatever it is? So that is your assignment. All right? Everyone agree? Amen? All right? You can't walk out of here without a question. Scott, you're going to be the person at the door to... So what is prayer? I wrote down just in a simple form, it's talking to God. It's our direct communication to the God of the universe. You think about that. And when I wrote that down, when I say that, really, Chris Ray, I have a direct communication to God of the universe who created all of this. I just said I believe in the foundation. I have that. That's what prayer is. Prayer is the practice of presence of God in our lives. That's how we bring God close to ourselves, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Prayer is where we find intimacy with God. Is that great or not? Intimacy with God. I get to have intimacy with God. Again, creator of heaven and earth, I get to have that? That's not just, it is truly afforded to everybody if you want to believe, but not everybody out there has that. I have that. You have that, right? That we get to be intimate with God. It's a spiritual connection. I just said that we have the Holy Spirit in us. You have the Holy Spirit in you. God is a spirit. It's a spiritual connection. What's God been saying to you lately? That's that spirit. His spirit talks to my spirit. I found this quote here, and I don't know where I found it, but I really, really like this. And to say that I can really do this is, I don't know, it's kind of hard. But the quote is, prayer is the privilege of touching the heart of the Father through the Son of God, Jesus our Savior. The fact that I get to touch the heart of God, you get to touch the heart of God. Touch the heart of God. How do you do that? He's a personal God. He's a relational God. He wants to know. He wants to know your desires, your feelings, your whatever's going on in life. He wants to know that. We get to touch the heart of God. So the title of this sermon today was going to be prayer. And actually, if I go way back, the title was going to be prayer, what is it good for? Because the way my mind thinks is I attach words or phrases to things. And when I was going through, and I'll tell you, this sermon here really has been going on for probably 6 months for me with God. But whenever I say the word prayer, I wasn't around in the 70s, but there's a song called War. Anyone remember that song, War? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. But this is what came up. So I kind of nixed that, maybe because Scott kind of encouraged me. Maybe I shouldn't. Well, then Becky Bork sent me a message to say, you know, what's the title? And I said, prayer. It's just going to be simple prayer. Well, then Scott says, in his infinite wisdom, right? So it's all Scott's fault. I'm just going to revert a lot of things back to Scott. So he says, you got to have something maybe catchy in the newspaper. So it's a prayer, you know, because is anyone out of this church today? Did anyone come out of Swanton today or someplace else? Do we have to pray? The answer really is yes. But sometimes I think you don't have to. If you read the Word of God and you accepted it, you could not pray. But I don't know how that ever could be done. So really the answer is, yeah, we have to pray. We have to pray. I didn't find it. It's not in the Ten Commandments, but all throughout the book, the Bible, it tells us that we are to pray in certain. I just read you scripture. You need to pray without ceasing. You got to pray on all occasions. I really see that as a command that, yeah, we have to pray. We have to pray. I wrote this, that reading the Word gives us the knowledge of God. And praying is where it gets personal. Praying brings us to the heart of God, touching the heart of God. I just said he's a very personal God, right? He's a relational God. He wants a relationship. He's not one of those other small g gods out there that I am all that and everything else, but and not invite people in. But he, our God, capital G, wants to bring all of us in together and have this relationship. And it's done through prayer. Now, I'm not saying that the Word of God doesn't bring you closer. It does, absolutely. But reading is here and prayer is like right there. After we learn about it, we have to start praying. I really tried to describe to my wife the other night what I was talking about, that it's pretty simple, that Scripture we are taught Scripture through prayer a lot of times of what it means, that God brings that through. We're reading a Scripture, and we got to pray about it to really what God wants that Scripture to speak to us. Or maybe it's for us to do something. And I looked up Martin Luther. I have a hard time reading Martin Luther. I'm nowhere near that. But I do want to quote what he says. Martin Luther says this: prayer was not merely informed by Scripture, but rather Scripture is often informed by prayer. Just meaning that when you're reading Scripture, when you read something there, you should be praying about that. What does it mean? What is God saying in that verse or that Scripture? What is he trying to tell me? Question. Do I really have that foundation that I was talking about? Ask God the question. If I have time, you might hear me say that I question God, and I want to preface that by saying I don't question God's deity, his sovereignty, his holiness. I don't question God in that. I understand who God is in my life. I question God a lot of times of what's going on in my life, and I have conversations. Mark, I think you said a couple weeks ago, you said something I really tried to remember about arguing. And a lot of times I say that I argue with God. I argue with God, but I've never won one of the arguments yet. So that's a good thing. So prayer informs us about Scripture. And that's probably the most important thing that I think we could get out of this, that if you want to understand Scripture, then you need to be praying about it. And it is essential in our life that we do that. Prayer is an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience. Again, that's how we come closer to God. He asked us to do these things. Prayer humbles us before the Almighty. You want to be humbled? Go before the Lord. Go before the Lord and ask Him questions about why you're doing what you're doing, how you're doing. It's a humbling, humbling. It's a humbling thing for me. So I solicited 12 people. Originally, when I wrote this in my mind, I said I chose 12 people. So I had the chosen 12, but not really the chosen 12. But I chose 12 people and I asked them a question. And the question was, why don't we pray? I just told you how important it is, how essential it is. But yet, why don't we pray? And I got some responses here. And I think, why is this important? For me, it's important because I think sometimes we have to say words or phrases in our life. Someone has to speak something into your life in order for you to recognize, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. And maybe for whatever reason, Satan has been hiding and he's great at deception, right? He's been deceiving you. He's been pulling wool over your eyes somehow that you haven't been praying for whatever reason and you haven't recognized it yet. So I really feel like this is important. I want to say that none of these excuses were mine. These are the selected 12, okay, so they're not mine. I'm not going to say anybody's name, but I'm just saying that I think I do fall into most of these categories, though. Tired. I'm just too tired to pray. I'm preoccupied. Are you preoccupied with other things in life that you can't pray? I'm lazy. Boy, that one seemed to ring a bell out there. Wow. I didn't think anybody in this church was lazy. That's I thought that was mine. Not a priority. Praying is not a priority. Some of these were so transparent that the guy shared with me, and girls. I've had some girls in there too. So it's so transparent to really someone would admit to me that it's just, you know, praying to God is just not a priority. That's me sometimes, to be honest with you. I've got a wife and I got a family and I got a house and I got a car and I got a business to run and I got employees to take care of and I got other missions. And, you know, with all that said, why don't I pray about all of those things? Not a priority. I'm proud. I'm too prideful to pray. Forgetful. I forgot to pray. Being repetitive. Again, these are other people, not me. So. Being repetitive. I had a gentleman in my life. I really have to speak about this. I had a gentleman in my life that he just believed that if he prayed for things, and you don't know this guy, but he prayed for his wife or his family once, and that's all he needed to pray for. That's not what the Bible was telling us when he said don't. Pray repetitively. Don't chant. That's not. I believe God wants you to pray for your wife all the time, your husband all the time, your children all the time. Bold, specific prayers too. That's not repetitive prayers that God was talking about. He wants to know that that's still an ache in your heart, that you want the best for your family. I am as repetitive about those prayers as they come, and I hope I get a chance to share a couple of them. Temptation. You're in the middle of a temptation, you're looking at it, and then you choose to satisfy the flesh, right? So how can I pray when I'm doing those kind of things? Other prayers weren't answered. Other prayers weren't answered, so why should I pray again? But we always forget, right? And you guys know this, that sometimes no is the answer, and maybe, and not right now, is an answer. That's an answer. Yes isn't always the answer, right? Not right now, not right with God. Going back to maybe the temptation, I didn't get a yes. A discouragement. For whatever reason in their life, they're discouraged. This was, I thought this was pretty insightful of one of the individuals. Sometimes I don't value my relationship with God. To me, that's just honesty. That sometimes I think we get to the point where I just don't value it. I, for whatever reason, you know, and I can't say a lot about that person, but it's insightful that he would recognize that about himself, that I just don't value that. And believe me, he is a Christian. He's a strong guy. He loves God. Sometimes it boils down to whether or not I believe it will make a difference. Will my prayers make a difference? I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and nothing's happened. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and nothing's happened. Is it really going to make a difference? Does God listen to me? I've got to tell you one of my stories. Hopefully I can get through this one. This is about my granddaughter, Lily. For reasons not to be spoken, I started praying when she was in kindergarten that she would have a mind and a brain, that she would be able to think through things on her own, that she would be able to read and comprehend, and she would be able to strategize, and she would be able to help herself with her homework and do all of these things. It's been 4.5, 5 years I've been praying, or repetitive prayer. I pray bold, specific prayer that her mind and her brain would function above everybody else's, or just function at a great level. I've been praying and praying and praying, and I pray most every night for that. That repetitive prayer gets repeated. Last year, in the third grade, Andrea, my daughter, gets a letter in the mail saying that Lily may fail the third grade. I did not curse God. I had to assess the situation. Chris and I decided that we're going to just keep praying. It doesn't matter if she fails or not. That doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that God's not done with it. Thank you. So she had to go to summer school. And we were praying. I'm still praying this prayer that God, Lord, you're not done with this little girl yet. You're not done with her. That you will show mercy on her. I know you will. I know you love her. And I know she loves you. So she's going through summer school, and it's the Ohio proficiency test that I'm not a big fan about, that we don't need to get into right now. But it was those tests that was going to make her fail, because she wasn't passing the first couple. Well, 2-3 weeks into summer school, she gets her final Ohio proficiency test. Wow. She passes the third grade. That's not the answer to prayer, though. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So we're still praying. I'm not giving up the prayer. It's still the repetitive prayer that I'm praying for a mind and I'm praying for a brain, and I'm not giving up. This year, Mom gets a letter in the mail. This is just God. Nobody else could do this. I cry for happiness because she gets a letter in the mail that says that she is gifted in her thinking, analytical. What is it, dear? Critical and analytical thinking. She is qualified as gifted. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Amen. Repetitive prayer. And now listen to this. This too. I'm not giving up that prayer. She's not done. I'm not done. God's not done with her yet. Hallelujah. Why God may not hear our prayer or respond to our prayer. And I didn't get reference. I got reference, but I didn't write the references down. That you know, there are reasons why God just does not answer prayer. And I wrote several of them down. Doubt, the lack of faith. He talked about in the Bible that these people, this person, lacked faith. They had doubt. He didn't answer the prayer. Selfishness. Sin. Unresolved sin. He didn't answer, couldn't answer the prayer. Wickedness. Denying the poor. I thought that was, I wish I would have wrote that one down, but I think that was it might be a familiar passage. But denying the poor was one reason why he didn't answer prayer. So God does not answer prayer for his specific reasons. Because of our pride, wrong motives, I ask for the wrong reasons, not obedient. his timing just isn't there, right? It's just not right. It's not God's timing. That's why he doesn't answer prayers right now. It's not to say that he didn't. God's timing. God's timing. I wish Byron was here. Everyone knows the situation with Byron years ago. He had I want to share this prayer too. He had a stroke and he was in the hospital, and it was several weeks, I don't remember. He was at the point, and I know all the saints here were praying for him. And he was at a point with his body that it started curling up into a fetal position, and his muscles started to atrophy. They started to shrink. And this is when God was really started speaking into my life, because my best friend Scott, I'm going to blame it on Scott. Scott got a word from God that he was supposed to go lay hands on Byron and pray over him. Scott came to me because he says, Chris, this is kind of not what we do at our church. It's not that we don't believe, but we don't do lay hands. I don't know what to do. And in Chris's finite wisdom, I just naive. I let's go do it. Yeah, I'm getting game for it. So we decided Monday morning we're going to go lay hands on Byron. We were going to the Toledo Hospital, and we ran into one of the elders, and he says, are you here to see Byron? Yes, we are. Well, you probably won't be able to see Byron, but you'll be able to see Rochelle, and you'll be able to pray with Rochelle. Oh, okay, that's great. Well, we get in the, again, just a couple of knuckleheads. And that's his description of us, not mine, but we're a couple of knuckleheads. We get into the elevator, and we are giddy. I mean, we are just like beaming because God has called us to do something, and we're on a mission, right? And we look at each other, it's like, he doesn't know why God sent us here, though, you know. So we go up. I think it was the fourth floor. We go up to the fourth floor. We right as soon as you walk through the double doors, right there is a doctor and nurse's station. Now he's in isolation, and we can't see him, but there's a couple of invisible knuckleheads that walk right in, and we take a right. We walk down, and we pass another nurse's station. We go into Byron's room, and Scott. We both lay hands on him, and Scott prays a little prayer, and it was Byron. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. We're out of there. Nobody sees us leave. We go down the elevator. It was like, wow, that was great. We're just like, oh, man, that was awesome. It's like, really? Did that really happen to us? This is pretty wild. This is great. So we go about our day, and the very next day, Scott calls me and said, hey, did you hear what happened? I said, no. He goes, Terry didn't call you? No. He goes, well, Terry called me and said that Byron woke up last night, kind of like sat up in his bed and said, hey, what's going on? How you guys doing? Yeah, anybody remember that? Now, I tell you that story because God's timing. God, that was a short, for me, that was a short prayer. Just because that's when God wanted it to happen, in a matter of a couple of weeks. Lily, my granddaughter, was 4.5 years of praying, not giving up. Amen. God's timing. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I read it. Do not be anxious. You know this, right? I want to go right to the verse that says, and the peace of God. The peace of God. Am I already past time? Really? I don't know what to do. I didn't get enough time. Dick, you took all the time. The peace of God, I really firmly believe God showed me through months here that the important thing of prayer, the one thing that you need to get out of prayer, whether he's answering your prayer or not, whatever it is, the one thing that you need to get out of prayer is peace. If you are not getting peace, I'm going to call it out. I have to say this too. Troy and I were talking a couple of months back about he grew up in another church. This is the only church I've ever grown up in. So I don't know a lot of things. I don't know about speaking in tongues. I don't know about laying hands, but it's all happening. I don't know about fire and brimstone sermons either. But I thought, you know what? I thought God, the way I was going to speak was going to be fire and brimstone. So I'm just going to speak right from the heart that if you don't get peace as you're praying, you're not allowing God to enter into your life. You should have peace without a doubt. You should have peace of God. Now there's a peace with God, right? That's a little different. Now I understand who God is and I've accepted that. That's how I'm at peace with God. Now the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that gives me peace through all of these situations. Everything that I'm in, you should be getting peace. If That's my fire and brimstone piece. Preaching, right? You should be getting it. What's that? Amen. Find that peace. It's sitting right there. It's right there for us. You know, I'm not saying... I know you guys don't think this, but I don't get it all the time. I worry about it all the time. And sometimes that's why I pray repetitive prayers. I'm not getting peace. But I think for the most of my prayer life now, I get that peace. I'm going to give it to Him. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to come back that next morning. I prayed last night. I'm going to come in the morning. I'm still praying for the same thing. But I'm at peace that God is going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it in His time. And I just have to accept that. I have to understand that. Wow, I don't have time for a lot of stuff here. I do want to share a story with you about my wife. It's a prayer. It's about prayer life. That my wife suffers from fibromyalgia and depression. For over 20 years, we've been praying for over 20 years. Now, I say that because I know some of you out there, somebody, has been praying for 5 years or 10 years, 7 years, 20 years plus for something. And you're feeling down and discouraged. There are times when I feel down and discouraged, but we've been praying for 20 plus years for her to be healed. It hasn't happened yet. Byron got healed. My granddaughter Lily got healed, so to speak. Chris hasn't been healed yet. Why? It's not his timing. That's okay. I think I need to share one thing about myself. There have been many times that I have not prayed for my wife, just out of frustration. Sometimes it's out of lack of faith, if I'm honest with you. I have to tell you this story because it's a great God story and how God reprimands me. This is about a year ago, year and a half ago. I said to myself, I didn't say this out loud. I didn't say it anywhere in the, I guess as it is in the spiritual realm out there, but I said to myself, I'm going to quit praying for my wife because my justification was, if I don't pray, she's not getting any better. And if I do pray, she isn't getting any better. So I made this conscious decision not to pray. I pray with my wife. Men, if you're not praying with your wife, there's a problem. There's a problem. I pray with my wife almost every day. And there are times that I don't, I'm telling you, but there's no excuse not to be praying with your wife, for your wife, for your family. There's none. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, I'm not this and that. And as a young Christian, that's the way I was. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't grow up in a religious family at all. I grew up Catholic, but I didn't think I was supposed to pray to God. But listen to this. 4 or 5 days later, she asked me, I noticed you haven't been praying. Why haven't you been praying with me? And I said, do you really want to know? She said, yes. And I said, because for what I just told you, that if I don't pray, nothing happens. And if I do pray, nothing happens. So that night I didn't pray with her. I'm sorry, dear. I think I apologize. 2 days later, God said, why have you forsaken me? What are you talking about? Why have you forsaken me, Chris? I said, I've not forsaken you. You know, Chris, when's the last time you prayed? Well, Lord, you know, Chris, you've forsaken me. Why have you forsaken me? Why haven't you praised my holy name? Well, Lord, you know that I've been busy doing... Chris, you have forsaken me. When was the last time you read, Chris? Well, you know, Lord, Chris, why have you forsaken me? That story really is about that you think that you might push someone else aside or something else aside that's going on in your life. That's not it. You're pushing God aside. That's what that story was for me. In my finite, stupid, idiot thinking, I really was thinking I just wasn't praying for my wife. But that led me down a whole thing of not reading and not praying and not praising God. And then God said, oh yeah, by the way, what makes... What gives you the right to forsake your wife? All I've asked you to do is pray. That's all I've asked you to do, Chris, is pray. I've asked you to pray. That's all I asked you. I didn't ask you to heal your wife. I didn't ask you to heal Byron. I didn't ask you to heal Lily. I didn't ask you to do this or that. All I've asked you to do, Chris, is pray. That's all I've asked you to do. Pray. It sounds so simple, right? It's so simple yet so hard. But that's all God has asked us to do is pray. 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 It really is easy. There was an incident with Ken. This is back in... Scott, remember when you said that you'll bring up things that aren't on your list there? But I remember Ken and I talking at Preset's cabin one time, and we were talking about God, and I forget what the conversation, but it came about that I saw God as a friend. And I think when you were coming out of your depression, Ken, that was a problem you had, that you couldn't see God as a friend. Do you remember that? And that's what God is, our friend. Yeah, he's way up here, and he is holier than holy. But he wants to be your friend at the same time. He just wants you to pray. He wants you to pray about what? Everything. When? All the time. Well, can I really pray all the time? Oh my gosh. There's another sermon in there, but I am so sorry. I want to encourage you to ask yourself a question today, please, about your prayer life, where you're at. God, show me. I don't even know how to pray. Lord, show me how to pray. I don't know where you're at with your life. I don't know where you're at with your prayer life, but show me. That's what you could ask him. Lord, I've been praying about this one thing. What does it mean? Lord, you know, Chris said something about Ephesians. Is that really true, that I'm supposed to pray in the Spirit on all occasions? Really? What does that mean? Ask yourself a question about your prayer life, please. Father God, we come to you tonight, or today, this morning, Lord. We love you. Thank you for being here in our midst, Lord, for another day, a day that is not guaranteed to us, but here we are in your midst, and we just thank you for that. Father God, we lift up our prayers to you for everything and anything. Lord, I pray for this congregation right now, as we see today, as we pray today, that they would ask you a question about their prayer life and what's going on in their life, Father God. Lord, I love you, and I say thank you for being in my life. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for allowing me, all of us, to be able to touch your heart with our desires and our thoughts. Father, we give you today, and we say thanks. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.